Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, from the National Black Unity News. First and foremost, I want to thank God for this opportunity to even speak with you, but also to welcome everybody to our first broadcast of the year, and I want to wish everybody a prosperous new year. And we will be having a publication coming out in a very short while, hopefully Monday morning, but our online version should be available in a couple of days. So I'm good to get ready for it because there's a lot of great information in there that will make your life better, because a lot of the editors are speaking about some of the issues we have to currently deal with and how to get over those issues in this brand new year, because we also know that our year 2020 was a doozy, so to speak, and that's keeping it mildly. And a lot of people are going through, will go through, because it seems like we haven't seen the worst of it yet. But there's hope. There's always hope, because first and foremost, if you like me, I serve a great God. And the second thing is, too, things are happening politically and socially and a lot of things going on. But like I say, it's topsy-turvy right now. And we have two special guests with us this evening. One is Bishop Sule, who's an editor in the National Black Unity News. Also, we have attorney James Sweeting.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening. The third is with us. And I know Bishop Sule will have to leave shortly, but we'd like to start our podcast off, as usual, with our brother Satavi Jahi giving a powerful message. Brother Satavi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. First of all, I want to thank the 50,000-plus listeners who have tuned into a show here on Blog Talk Radio on platform Home Based Business 101. And we just want to thank you. As you know, we got over 50,000 followers on Blog Talk platform. So this is reaching a multitude of people out there. And the reading for the day, January the 4th, Home Field Advantage. There are some countries so backward that their people don't spend money until they have saved it. A.J. Gaskins, entrepreneur. Reading for the day. There's an old fable about a man who was riding across the desert at night. He crossed a riverbed. A voice came out of darkness, ordering him to halt. The voice then said, "Now get off of your camel." The man did so. The voice then said, "Pick up some gravel from the riverbed." The man complied. Finally, the voice said, "Now mount and ride on. In the morning, you'll be glad and sorry." As the sun rose, the rider looked at what he had picked up and discovered it was not gravel at all, but a handful of precious gems. As the voice had said, he was both glad and sorry. Glad he had picked up a few and sorry he had not carried more. Like most fables, this one is based on human nature and a specific meaning for those fortunate to live in this land of opportunity. We live in the richest country the world has ever known. We African Americans possess just about everything the wealthy possess, only in smaller amounts. We have homes, cars, stereos, televisions, savings accounts, only in smaller quantities. Our food is just as tasty and as plentiful. Our homes are just as cozy. We're only a fraction of the world's population. African Americans possess nearly 10% of the free world's total income. For most of us are like the man in the fable. We're glad we have such a high standard of living, but still have some regrets. Regrets because many never realize that financial independence has nothing to do with the amount of money you earn, but only with what you do with the funds you possess. Today, riches in all forms are within my reach. I will reach for and receive my share of the wealth. That's our reading for the day. And, you know, it's a very, very meaningful reading there in terms of, again, the land that we live in and all the abundance and opportunities. And it just, you know, it's so many that, you know, it can become mind-boggling, especially during this time when, people trying to find more and more ways to earn money online. Like there's a zillion opportunities out there, a zillion. And, you know, and so, you know, the thing is we just got to search high, search low, analyze, and pick what's best for us so that we can get our fair share. And that's our reading for the day, David.
Okay, thank you, brother. Always powerful information. Well, we're going to have some powerful information we're about to share with you because a couple of our guests, from my perspective, and I'm quite sure once you hear from them, it'd be your perspective as well. They're two knowledgeable brothers who was out there on the front line, especially they politically astute, but one is an attorney, one is a bishop, but they are active in our community. And what we need, you know, no matter what you're doing, we need to get involved because I was told one time politics even regulate the air we breathe, and that's powerful as far as I'm concerned. And I know Bishop Soleil will have to be leaving us shortly, so I'm going to bring him on first. Bishop, will you unmute yourself, sir?
Hey, David, good evening. Good evening to the National Black Community News Network family. It's great to be here on this first Monday of the new year.
All right. I see you got somebody with you that I see. I don't know her directly, but I'm familiar with her. he been shouting your name out there. How you doing?
She was featured in our fall newspaper, and this is the candidate, Sandra Candy Kristoff, who's running for U.S. Congress in Louisiana District 5 again.
Amen. All right. All right, sir. You got the floor. Y'all got the floor.
I want to say thank you all for having me so much. It's so good to be among the land of the living, and it's so good to be among brothers and sisters who realize there is much, much work for us yet to do. I really believe that we are personally charged with making this world a better place than we found it. And so that is my quest, to leave this world a better place than we found it. My life is not my own. To God it belongs. I am trained by academics as a licensed clinical social worker. I'm a licensed addiction counselor. I'm the founder of Reentry Solutions, a 12-year nonprofit organization that helps persons in Louisiana that are coming out of prison find restoration and achieve success after incarceration. I have worked in the incarceration system with our Louisiana Department of Corrections. I've worked with mental health. I've worked in our school system. I was adjunct professor at Louisiana State University at Alexandria, and I can go on and on and on. Mm. But the most important thing I think it is for you guys and ladies to know about me, and that is I'm on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, and I'm on the battlefield to do what I can to alleviate the systemic oppression that we have in our country. And I don't know why God chose me, but I've chosen to accept the call. And I ask that you all unite with me because God is up to something big. He is up to something big. In this last election in November, we won 21 of the 24 parishes against the Democratic endorsed candidate. And we won 17 of the parishes against the number two Republican candidate. I thought that God was pleased with me being obedient and have fulfilled the task of running for U.S. Congress. And in my soul, I was well. I felt that, okay, God, I've done what you had me to do. And I went, as we were picking up our signs, and I'll share this briefly with you, and a minister told me, I said, Leon, I don't understand this. Because I know what I heard. I know what God told me. And she said, oh, you think this is over? This isn't over. This was a trial run. This was your training session for the Maine. And it will come to you. You will not have to come to it. It will come to you. I said, okay, well, God, maybe you have an appointment for me in 2021, 2022. Whatever that appointment is, I'll gladly serve however he sees fit. Had no idea God had another plan. And unfortunately, we lost our congressman-elect Luke Letlow. And who would know that as a candidate, I would be running for U.S. Congress twice in 6 months. Once elected, and I do feel elected, once elected, we will have won the victory of having the first African-American female to ever represent Louisiana in Congress. We have never, ever had an African-American woman to occupy this seat in this district or in the state of Louisiana in the House of Representatives. So I say to my sisters and to my brothers, come on, let's unite. We have to strive for this more perfect union. It's not going to come to us. We've got to take it, and we've got to take it by force. We can't wait on it to be given to us. But it doesn't come at a cheap price. It comes at the cost of time and energy and mental real estate, and it comes at the cost of money. So I ask that you to pool your resources, pool your network, and pool your finances, whatever little or large you have, whatever he lays on your heart, unite with us and let's achieve victory this March the 20th, because now is our time. You've heard that song, "It Ain't Over Till It's Over"?
Mm-hmm.
Only God can give and take life. It ain't over. It ain't over.
Oh, okay. Right. Yes, sir.
You understand and appreciate the energy that I have working with this dynamic sister, friend, cohort. We are the only people that are up 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning working during Christmas, during New Year's, because we're committed to community. And this is the thing that we must understand. We have to get involved. If we don't get involved,
nothing will change.
Nothing's going to change. You're going to always get what you already got.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get involved and we start taking one seat by one seat, so maybe today it's Louisiana, but maybe next fall it's Texas or it's Maryland. If we unite and put all our energy and all our collective resources together behind a race, we can impact that race and we can win that race. Mm-hmm. But we got to have an electable candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at an electable candidate
mm-hmm.
for the 5th Congressional District of Louisiana. So I thank you for the time. We'll put our contact in the chat box. We'll put the website. But understand this. We are going to win.
Victory ours. It's decreed and declared.
All right. Let me ask you this. Attorney James Sweeten, can you unmute yourself for a minute? Because I always want to introduce you two gentlemen to each other. And, of course, well, this is Attorney James Sweeten, and this is Bishop Soule, because both of y'all have a couple of things in common. First, both of y'all are editors in the National Black Unity News. And the second thing is, both of y'all are very politically astute. Attorney James, will you explain what you do here in Florida as well as in Maryland in the Democratic Party?
Well, yeah, one of the things that I had been doing, we were involved with the African-American Democratic Clubs of Maryland. And unfortunately, my partner in that endeavor, Cornelius Chap Scott, passed away last December. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to recover from that blow. I know that, you know, this would have been a tremendous year for him to be involved. And so we continue to try to keep his vision going with the African-American Democratic Clubs of Maryland. What we were trying to do, the African-American Democratic Clubs of Maryland kind of derived out of the initial Obama campaign and part of the organizations that we're doing when he first ran, it feels like so long ago, in 2008. And they had developed these organizations throughout the different counties in Maryland. And so we tried to after the, well, before the Trump, I guess back in 2014, I became involved. And so we tried to organize and make it a statewide situation. So, you know, voting is so imperative here in Maryland and in elsewhere. And, you know, particularly in Maryland, we have certain challenges because we're not a swing state. And it's, you know, people do not, beyond the gubernatorial level, it, you know, candidates don't come. It's hard to attract people and keep people involved the way the system is designed. And it's sort of a, you know, a voter suppression idea to keep, you know, the people unengaged and unimaginative because, you know, well, it doesn't matter, you know, if we participate here or whatever, because, you know, nobody's coming to Maryland, nobody cares. It's a Democratic state. But we have a Republican governor because we have not been holding or tying the line. And that governor, I live in Baltimore, and that governor sucked money out of the city of Baltimore and put it in, you know, the rural and other parts of the state. Now, I get it. I don't, you know, I don't begrudge my rural neighbors and my suburban neighbors. But, you know, the fact is that we have to understand as a community is that, you know, we pay taxes and we need to get at least a commensurate amount of services back from what we pay. Now, I mean, I see, you know, the single mother, the homeless, the unemployed person here. But I know that when they go into, you know, that bodega, when they go into Safeway, when they go whatever, they're paying a tax on what, anything that they purchase. And so, you know, we need to bring the idea to the table that government is to serve us and serve the community and not the other way around. Now, you know, I'm excited about Baltimore. I know you got something to say. I just say I'm excited about being in Baltimore and Maryland. We have a gubernatorial contest getting ready to come up, and hopefully that we can stay energized. One of the things I would say is that we're really trying to reach out and get young people to come in and kind of take our positions. The other thing that we in this community, I started in the 80s at a law school in rural Florida, and you know, I can tell plenty of stories about that. But I'm really looking for young people to pass the baton to, because the future is now. And I'm just really proud of my community, not only here in Baltimore but throughout the nation, because we are participating in the electoral process at a rate higher than other communities. And so, you know, at some point that bacon is going to come home, or I should say that bread is going to come home to us. So I just want to encourage everybody. I know sometimes it gets frustrating, but,
Right. Let me say this to you. Bishop Soule, and our soon-to-be elected official, when you first came on, you said so many things that you were involved with, and you got my vote already. I wish I could vote in your area. But what can we do to support you and get the word out? You know, what can we do? Because we are from all over the country right here, Virginia, Maryland, you know, North Carolina and places like that. So how can we support you?
One is to go to the website, CandyChristophForCongress.com, and to follow us there on our social media. Two, if you can help us with getting some national attention so that we can expand that support base, that can expand our resource base. This race, because of COVID, is one that is different. We are going to need funding so that we can take care of the advertisement cost. If you can help us to get in as many media sources, magazines, newspapers, et cetera, if you can use your network influence there to bring attention to the race, if you all can individually and collectively donate to the campaign, individually and collectively. We have also that I developed, I paint, you all can't see, but I paint, and I developed a commemorative poster here in lieu of women's suffrage. It's our 100th year of women's suffrage in 2020, and it has Camilla on here and myself on here We have these posters here on our campaign, as well as some campaign shirts, et cetera, for sale. But any donation amount, all of it goes to getting the word out. It does no good to have a good qualified candidate if you're not able to reach the voters. We know our African-American candidates. We know our voter base that is strong, but we have got to penetrate and get through to those persuasive voters that don't look like us, that don't travel in those same circles. And the best way we found to do that is through word of mouth and through media contact. And so if you know of someone in Louisiana, help us to reach them, especially those that don't look like us. If you are part of companies or organizations, bring attention to our campaign and ask them individually and cooperatively to support us. There's strength in unity, but we've got to be intentional with our unification efforts.
All right, you heard that. You heard that, family. We need to get on board. And if those of you who's on the panel with us this evening, if you have any questions for our candidate, and we're going to bring Attorney Jane back, but that's why I say, Bishop Shillette, I know you can say that to leave early. And so I got one more question. Bishop Shillette, you called me the other day. You said you had some...
I also want to let James know that I am a proud Cherry Hill pastor. I helped transform Cherry Hill, Baltimore. I was there in the mid-90s when we pushed Cherry Hill 2000, and we pushed all those housing initiatives and that senior housing project and the project where we did the lease purchase. That was my housing.
When they work out, they might.
So I love Baltimore as
where
well.
Where we voted it.
Brother High Key, excuse me, Brother High Key, mute yourself, sir.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, Baltimore is a lovely place, and you know, a lot of people are down on it. President down on it. I would just say one thing quickly. You know, you started the program, and the opening statement was that our community has 10% of the income in the free world. And so, you know, you can't, like I try to tell people, we can't go, you don't go in a store and don't bring no money with you, okay? So we have to understand that we're not, we're only poor and impoverished because we've been given a mindset of poverty and impoverishment, and so that we cannot do things. If we put our money, I'm sure that, and to the congressperson, forgive me, because I don't want to suggest that you can't be bought or anything like that, but this is America, and I bet you that Putin didn't spend 10% of his money buying Trump. So what I would say to you is that if we as a community put our money together, we could have the kind of representation that could bring the dollars that we spend, that we pay in taxes, back into our communities, and we can start addressing some of the things that affect our communities. When I was doing mental health work, one of the biggest issues was income insecurity. One of the reasons why people have, you know, mm-hmm. you know, are fighting or mad or substance abuse is because they have income insecurity. And if you're insecure, like, where are you going to sleep? Where are you going to live? And it doesn't mean you might have a job in this America today and still be income insecure because you're one paycheck away from disaster.
Many do.
So what we need to do, we need to have representatives that represent us, you know, and, it, you know, and that represent and understand what it is like to be, you know, at us. And I'm a lawyer and I'm income insecure. I mean, I might make more than one paycheck, but, you know, who's going to say what next year would be like? And the fact is that it didn't have to be that way. When I was a child, my parents, back in the 60s, people had security. But, you know, decisions were made politically in this country that drained the middle class and that hurt the African-American community.
Yes,
it's time for us to reclaim that. This is not a one-way street. It don't have to be the way it is.
Okay.
And it is so important that we put people at the table that can identify with our struggles, because if you don't know that people on the south side of town If you live on the north side where everything's wealthy and everybody's driving a late model vehicle and everybody's living in a 6,000 square foot home, then you don't realize that there are some on the south side that don't have AC. You don't realize that there are some that don't have internet. You think that everything is well. So when you sit at the table, if you're not from there and don't have hearts there, don't have loved ones there, then when you sit at the table, that's not an issue for you, because everything in your neck of the woods where you are and people that you love are in the route that you travel back and forth, everything with them is all right. And so we get forgotten about. And I cannot say enough how President-elect Biden need as many Democrats as we can in the House and in the Senate. And this is not just about Louisiana. This is about protecting our democracy. This is about future generations. And this is about the world in which we dream of and want to leave for our children and their children to come. So with that said, please make a pact with me today. Make a pact with me today that we will be active, that we will be intentional about doing everything you can in your power to help thrust this campaign to victory. Because at the end of March the 20th, we don't want to sit back and say we had woulda, shoulda, coulda. We lit the runoff by 424 votes. 424 votes.
That's great, disgraceful.
We can push. We can unite, and with all of us, with our efforts and resources and networks, intentionally, collectively, together, we can go on to victory.
And David, this is something I saw when I came to the National Black Unity News Network. I saw the collective impact that if we would unite, as Attorney Sweetie was saying, and put all of our energy on one community like a laser and get that candidate elected and then move to the next and move to the next and move to the next and move to the next, we can bring the changes that we need to bring in communities throughout America. That's my heart. That's where I want to go. And I want to start here at home, but I've also grew up in the DMV, okay, and spent many days in D.C., Baltimore, and Virginia. And there's many, many other communities across America that are just as hurting.
That's right.
And low resource and lots of issues that this COVID has brought out that has exposed how the real America is. And we're going to have to get off this, but, and I told you this, David, last year, there is no white knight coming to the black community. There is no Superman. If we don't do it for ourselves, nobody's going to do it for us.
Oh, okay.
We can't wait on that hallway to God, and that is the back of the line. That is not now. That is wait your turn. That is all every excuse under the book. I say it's our season. This is our season. We just have to claim it.
Let me ask you one question before you have to go. I'm just curious, you know, because I often wonder why people do the things that they do. Now, you open up with so many things that you're a servant. I mean, you serve it here and there. Yeah, and you said you could go on and on and on. And I appreciate you for that. And I understand whose you are as well, because you mentioned God. God guides you. But for you personally, now, from the black community, from my perspective, you always had this underlying suspect of politics, because it's a crazy type of situation that people get in. I've known a lot of politicians who got into office. They came in one way, but once they got in there, they found out it was a different type of game or something that they had to deal with. So my question to you is this. When you was chosen, as you mentioned, and you answered the call, what is that under thing that's inside of you that makes you want to serve us, our people?
I believe that all people are God's people. And everything that I do for God, I want to do it with the spirit of excellence. Period. And so my serving the people of the 5th District, the people of the United States of America, I do it as unto God. And that is with the spirit of excellence. This assignment is an assignment. When I said my life is not my own, it belongs, I believe literally that. And that wherever, you know, there's the old saying, I'll go where you want me to go and I'll do what you want me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I literally mean that. God didn't come to take orders from us. He came to take over. And if he is literally Lord of your life, then where he would have you to go and be his ambassador, that's where he would have you to go. And if that's here in this community, then I'm all fine with it. I was perfectly okay with that. But if that's in D.C. at another level, I'm okay with that too, because my life is not my own. To him I belong. And I have learned through the hard lessons of life that I would much rather be in the will of God, where God would have me to be, than to be where I think I want to be.
Amen.
He will make the circumstances so rough to where life will whoop me just like Jonah in the belly of the whale. I'd rather be where he would have me to be, doing what he would have me to do for his people. I don't know what law he wants me to offer, what vote he wants me to cast, or what bill he wants me to support. But our pastor had been talking for the last year and something about positioning, and that seed settled in my soul. And this is about positioning for something else, for something greater. I don't know, but I am here being obedient every step of the way. We achieved the victory of 21 parishes or counties, as you all count them, out of 24.
You are muted. You can mute or unmute yourself by pressing star.
It's only $60,000. $30,000 from my line of credit and $30,000 from our savings. Because COVID was here, I didn't feel comfortable asking the people that I knew for money, because everybody I know struggled. I don't know people that have hundreds of thousands of dollars that can say, I'm going to write you out a couple thousand dollar check. That, I don't know a lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. The few that I did what they could, but it wasn't to the millions that some say that you need. And I think all of that was for God to show me that when I'm doing his will, he will take the little and he will make much out of it. And he did. And we ended up being the top Democratic candidate in the race. And so now he has spoken loud and clear. It ain't over. There's a special election that nobody thought would happen. Nobody. And I prayed about it and asked, was my assignment complete? And my spirit, I got, it's not over. It's not over. And so this race, I feel rested assured in my soul that victory is ours. The devil can delay, but he don't have the authority to deny.
Okay. Well, I tell you one thing. I understand what you're saying. I feel what you're saying. And I just want to commend you for just being obedient to your call. And you got my vote and you got my support. And if anyone of our panelists that's online with us right now, if you have any questions for our candidate, this is the time to do so. Anyone, unmute yourselves.
Well, I do. So, not being from Louisiana, where does your district cover? I mean, what parts of Louisiana?
Our district covers 24 parishes. It's one third of the state of Louisiana. It goes all the way up north to the Arkansas line, all the way over to the Mississippi line.
It is
over 400 square miles.
How many media markets is that?
There are four major media markets that in there, and lots of little ones, but there are four majors: New Orleans, Alexandria, Monroe, Baton Rouge.
Okay. All right.
I appreciate you guys thinking outside of the box.
I have a question.
We're trailblazers, and we have to think outside of the box. Yes, Kathleen.
Thank you. I write in the newspaper to the youth. And listening to you talk, I just want to know, when did you know that this was going to be your path?
When Congressman, former Congressman Ralph Abraham came to my church, and he slipped and made the statement that he is going to help make America great again. And in my soul, I looked at my neighbor to my left and my neighbor to my right and said, did you hear that? Because America ain't been great for everybody.
For real.
That's when my soul was disturbed and said, oh no. Oh no.
Thank you for sharing that.
And I knew because it fell upon me to run, and I told my husband about it, and my husband was, Candy, I don't know about that, Candy. You know, we got some crazy people out there. I can't, you know, support, you know, I can't protect you from the crazies that's out here. We're in Louisiana, you know? And so I said, well, Dre, let me get away a little bit. Let me go and get a hotel, and let me just get away from everyone so that I can hear God. And I heard him. And when I tell you we had a tussle. I gave him every reason why it should not be me. And he gave me every reason why it was. And I cried and I snotted and said, Lord, if this can pass me, because I am not one to bite my tongue. I am one that is not afraid to speak truth to power. And I'm not trying to make any enemies at this late day and hour. You know, not trying to do that. But God reminded me of the times that he brought me through not just one stroke, but my second stroke. He reminded me of the promises I made to him.
Uh-oh.
And he said, I didn't bring you through all of that. But not. I prepared you. And I was telling him how I didn't feel I was prepared. And he reminded me that I brought you through this and this and that. And all of this was to prepare you. You're ready because I've chosen you. And looking back now through the rearview mirror of life, I can see his hands now. I didn't see it then, but I can see it now. And so now there's nothing for me to do but to walk in the pathway. I told my husband, you don't have to worry about me because God got angels around us protecting us, and he's going to keep us.
Oh, yeah.
And my husband packs as well. You know, y'all know what I mean when I say he packs.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so very much.
Some of you men have been smiling. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, huh?
Yep, for real. But let me say this. You know, this is a brand new year. And we just came out, like I say, in the beginning, I opened up, you know, the year 2020 was a doozy. But out of those ashes arose a lot of great people who made it through. And there's a lot of folks who are on here right now that I'm looking at are powerful people in their own rights. But, you know, everybody has their challenges. Mm-hmm. And I just want to personally thank you. Just listening to you talk was just confirmation for me. Because it sounds like, what other words, you know where I'm coming from. You spoke to me, and I appreciate that. Because I, too, just like many of us, have been through a lot. But since we're in this brand new year, people coming up with these brand new ideas, resolutions, they want to make things better in life. And for those, And I don't know, like I say, sometimes, you know, when people are by themselves, you said you had to get to yourself. You know, a lot of people, because I've talked to a lot of people on here on a personal basis. And a lot of people have personal struggles that they have to deal with. And sometimes they don't know how to deal with it sometimes. So what would you suggest just to those who's going through it? And what is your suggestion for them to look forward to how to get out of it? Or, you know, I hope you know what I'm trying to say is a word of encouragement from you.
What I would say is know that God knows exactly where you are, exactly what you've gone through, and it's all for a purpose. And if you just tune in to him, he will show you what that purpose is. And as we grow and lean more on him, and we, as my grandmother would say, listen to that inner spirit, listen to that soft voice that's leading us and guiding us, he will guide us right on to victory. What profits a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What's the point of being on this earth if we're not to make an impact that's positive for the next generation? What's the point of growing old with the experiences that we have if it's not to make the world a better place?
So that's an
I won't hide my talent. I won't bury it under a bushel. Yes, Ms. Fran.
That's an excellent segue, because my question to you is, who have you chosen to groom so that once you are in the seat, because I'm claiming your seat for you as you are claiming your seat for you. But once you get into that seat, who do you have your eye on to groom so that when it's time for you to pass the baton, you have a seamless transition? Someone who you've trained up, you have educated, you have connected to resources, someone you have created opportunity for, all of those things. See, we Black people get in elected seats, and we think that that's where it stops, but that's where it begins. We got to get in the seat. But wait a minute, hang on. In order for us to continue to have the power that we fight so hard to get, we have to have someone coming behind us that we're grooming to take our spot so that those other people don't sneak up behind us and sit in our seat before we can put somebody else in the seat. Okay, I'm done.
I amen you, because that goes back to that intentional. And I think we as a group of people and as a race of people need to look at our transitional plan. Whenever we look at other races, they have an executive plan. Who's going to take over after? My mother died. My mother died when she was 60 years old, 5 months and 4 days. My mother had me when she was 16 years old, and conceived me when she was 16, had me when she was 17. And when my mom died, that was my rock. And I call myself being a strong woman. And so for me, it has become my nature to nurture, to pass on to anyone that wants to learn, whether formally or informally. And I think that we owe it to the future generations to do what we can to package that in a way, to package that in a way. Of course, in Sunday school, you're influential with Sunday school, et cetera. But from the teaching at LSU in Alexandria, at Louisiana State University, and from losing mom, I'm a little bit of me goes into everybody. I have four other children that call me mama, that's birthed by another mother. I'm nurturing and pouring in. I think we just have to do that. Now, know that not everybody wants to learn. But those that we find that are, we need to make sure we keep them close and give them the guidance that they need.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me switch gears for a little bit here. Pat, Mr. James Sweeting, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Yes, sir. I want to switch to you. You know, I invited you both on here tonight because of, you know, we are dealing with this political arena that we have to take care of. And I know you're very astute in that as well. But also, you're an attorney. And a lot of people right now have lost their businesses. Some people are going bankrupt. Some people have all types of challenges right now. And by you being an attorney, what do you suggest people do in these crazy times? You know, because like I said, they're losing their homes and stuff. Is there any type of legal things or laws that right now that you're aware of that can assist people?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. So what I suggest that people do, first of all, is they need to not despair, and you have to kind of pay attention to what's going on around you. So this is, you know, COVID and the shutdowns and the economic turmoil, which unfortunately may only get worse at this point, has caused or has requires us or to navigate as individual business people throughout and to see what resources they are. A lot of times in our community, we don't take advantage of the, you know, some of the resources that are around simply because because number one, the obstacles are put in our place to take advantage of it. Then I think I might have talked I had a bunch of contractors and other people that I represented with the PPP situation. And because either they had prior felony convictions or they had delinquent support payments, you know, they couldn't participate in that program. And so those obstacles were put in their place to keep them from participating. Because as a community, we're over policed. We run into a situation where we're going to, you know, our young people, our old people, you know, period, we're going to have more contacts with law enforcement. And unfortunately, those result in bruises and bruising. So, I mean, to answer your question, all bruises aren't physical. To answer your question, I would say to you this. I think you really got to put your ear to the ground. I know the state of Maryland had a program out there where they were providing some resources and some financial support to small business. The Maryland Works and some other things, but a lot of people in the community didn't know about it. And I take some responsibility, not necessarily getting it out as much as, you know, we need to get it out and passing the word amongst our communities. Other communities seem to be a little bit better at doing that, and for whatever reason. I'm not down on that, but I think the biggest thing is you have to really be aware of what resources. The other thing is, I deal with all kind of business people. So in dealing with some of these loans that were out, either the EIDL program or other loans that were out, we had situations where it's just a matter of, training. So like I've seen people that might not have had in their businesses didn't do a lot of the 2019 taxes. So you go to get either EIDL loan or whatever, they're going to look, okay, what income did you have in 2019? And, our people have a mindset where they're going to say, well, I want to minimize the amount of taxes that I pay. So I'm going to put a low number as far as my income because I'm a business person and I could do that. Well, then your ability to get loans are, because that's what they look at. And again, there's certain obstacles that we, are put in our place and for us to participate. But I will say this, as a community, we survived. We survived, Jim Crow, we survived chattel slavery, and we're well positioned, we have the survival skills to make it through even this COVID thing. So what I would just say is, you know, be astute, it's time to be, you know, on your feet and able to be, dexterous to take advantage of what doors are open and what other doors don't. And there are a lot of, you know, my clients that I have that are in cleaning businesses are doing well. And you know, they you know, so you just have to really, you know, be dexterous. And because you were doing something 5 years ago, we can no longer anticipate that it's going to keep, you know, doing it. My clients in the restaurant business on the other hand, have gotten crushed, particularly if they didn't have takeout situations. So it's been a catastrophe, but we can't, as a people, sit, you know, we've been through catastrophes before. So we have to do like our elders. We can't sit here and say, oh, it's a catastrophe. And you know, we have to get up and be dexterous. There are some opportunities out there, and we have to bend and navigate through it.
Okay. Is there any type of, you know, those, because most everybody on here owns a business, pretty much everybody on here, or own real estate or something. Is there any type of thing that you suggest as a lawyer? Like I say, I'm not saying insurance or something, but maybe you can suggest that. But protection that they need from the legal standpoint to protect themselves?
I think the biggest thing is to have, you know, lawyers are like dentists or doctors or whatever. The biggest thing is to have a relationship with a lawyer or somebody that at least you can talk with. And, you know, obviously, you know, don't sign contracts or don't sign agreements until, you know, you talk to not only a lawyer, but until you think about it and make sure it makes sense. So one of the things is entrepreneurs are dreamers. So most of the people on here are entrepreneurs. They're, you know, they're following and they're pursuing their dream. And you put a lot into your business. And so, you know, is this dream, you know, and you know, everybody dreams about being successful. You know, is this dream or is this pathway to this dream realistic? Have I thought it out? What's going to get me there? So between point A and point C. And a lot of times I know that I'm guilty of this. A lot of times I see, you know, the big picture, but I don't see all the steps in between. And so, you know, you accomplish something one step at a time, left foot, right foot, as I you know, tell people. So that, you know, I think what I would tell, you know, have a relationship, think about what you're doing, have a plan, you know, the 5-year plan, the 3-year plan, the 6-month plan, very important, you know, and the 5-year plan, you know, it doesn't have to be, I know people read books and write books and, you know, it had to be some detail. It doesn't have to be that, but have an idea, sit down with yourself. I think the congressperson said she went to a hotel room, our soon to be congressperson, that she went to a hotel room and she wrestled with the Lord. Well, that's number one. You got to have an objective. You got to figure out, hey, you know, God, you know, what's the pathway, what I'm doing? Understand that your path is different from somebody else's path. You're not going to be able to emulate and be the same thing as, you know, somebody else. But your path, you know, it will be just as bright and glorious. And you just have to, you know, have faith and you know, think it out and be prayerful. And don't get frustrated. The other thing, you know, since entrepreneurs here, you guys know, you know, 10 businesses, you know, eight or nine are going to fail. But the one that hits will keep you going. So don't get frustrated. Don't give up. You know, it's different than obviously, you know, I'm gonna get a paycheck, but what it is yours. Your name is on it. And so I would encourage, you know, and the only way you're going to really build wealth is through entrepreneurship. So I would encourage that. I really answer your question. So what would I tell people to do? I just say think and stay on your teeth and be dexterous. Be able to, you know, don't get fixated on one path. Be able to move and take advantage of whatever door opens in front of you.
He may not ask this question, but I think I may ask it for him. We have a young man on here named Vernon Strieger. And he get ready to get involved in some heavy media type business. And I know he's kind of concerned of what they call copyright things, and you know, I don't know, you know, he don't want nobody to take his ideas or something. So any kind of suggestion you can give to that young man?
Yeah, well, I mean, with media, well, first of all, media is, you know, we're on a Zoom meeting now. Mm-hmm. So one of the areas that has flourished as a result of COVID is media. Now, I have a lot of people that were in a term and did live shows, and those shows and that stuff is, you know, obviously they're suffering. But the people that were doing, you know, online and who know how to do media stuff, whether it be Instagram, Facebook, that whole media ecosystem that exists out there, if you know how to manipulate that, first of all, that you're in a good position and you're well positioned, because we're not going to go back. I mean, I love all of y'all here, but I doubt that I'll ever be in a room with all of you. So we're certainly not going to go back to that situation. Mm-hmm. We're going to go forward. I go to court now on Zoom, and that's just the way that works. So first of all, I would say he's well positioned. Obviously, learn as much as he can learn about that. You know, obviously, you know, there's the copyright symbol. You make sure you put all that on there on your materials. There's a way to watermark your materials. So and that stuff is, you know, available. That's more, you know, I mean, it's just some of that legal stuff that preserves your rights, all rights reserved, and that kind of language. That's out there, you know, for the young man to find out. I mean, technically, he'll run into that. Obviously, he know, I mean, I'm going to play. You know, I always call you, call me, whatever. I'll share with him, you know, some of the ideas. But, you know, the first thing is, I mean, you know, with media, or anybody, you can't sell nothing unless you got product. So the first thing is to make the product, okay? And, you know, focus on creating a product that you have something to sell. And there's a lot of crappy product out there that makes people a lot of money, so that if you really focus on it, again, I'm really encouraging the young man in that particular business. And just a copyright symbol, stick that on there. Stick all rights reserved at the end of it when you roll your credits at the end of whatever you do. That's all it says, you know, copyright 2021, or whatever media productions, all rights reserved. And just roll that with the credits. And so at least you'll have a foot. You know, a lot of times we think that it's a great, you know, a great production to preserve your rights, and it, you know, it normally isn't. Now, you know, you might get in a situation where you're dealing with, you know, a Disney or somebody, and they say, you know, they took your idea, they, you know, but as long as you put something out there, they'll give you a leg to stand on in court. But again, don't be afraid of losing stuff so that you don't create stuff.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, so is it all right if I can give you a call later on?
Yeah, bro.
Maybe tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, you know he's in the paper, but if you know there's some people, we got a few people that's, yeah, most everybody's familiar with the paper on here right now, but those online, if you want to, how can they get in touch with you, attorneys, James Sweet?
It's just jamesatsweetinglaw.com. The number is 443. See, now I need the media guy because I saw you could put stuff on the computer here. But it's 443-267-7534. What you can do, though, is pick up a copy of the paper. And my contact information will be in there. But like I said, with the young brothers, first of all, one of the things, again, when I was talking to congressperson, is that we need to really encourage and bring the young people forward. So, bam, you know, all the support that we can do. You know, I've had a long journey. I'm not ready to end it. I thank the God for everything that he's shown me, but, you know, we need to really support our youth. So, yes, you had a young man get in touch with me, and that would be wonderful.
And also, let me do this, too. when I first met Attorney G, was at a Black Men Unified Black Men breakfast. Mm-hmm. He attended one of them, and we hit it off right away. And I can attest to this. Every time I call him, he's available. You know, I mean, you know, not that he got, you know, just, you know, he got the free time or nothing, but he would get back to you. He would talk to you, give you sound advice. And so, and like you, Vern, and I see Corey Johnson on here. Now, he just got, you know, got a play, and he's an author as well, you know, and sometimes, you know, when y'all venture into those type of fields, you know, easily people can try to, you know, take your stuff and their copywriting and all that kind of stuff the attorney just shared with you. But it's good to have somebody back up, say, let me talk to my attorney.
The thing is, a lot of times, you know, when you're creative, you know, it's easy for, you know, attorneys don't like to be business people. Creative people sometimes don't like it because all you want to do is create. You know, God, you know, gives me this inspiration. And creating is like, you know, washing the dishes. I mean, not creating. The legal stuff is like washing the dishes or cleaning the bathroom. Not like what you want to do, but it has to be done in order to have, you know, your cleanliness about your product. So I would just say, you know, for the literary person, the author or the playwright or whatever, you know, make sure, you know, don't sign any contracts. Make sure that you, you know, have somebody read your contracts or anything like that. If you are, you know, if you're producing something, make sure you have your releases. If you're dealing stuff if you're working with artists or talent and things of that nature, you know, I would just encourage you to do that. And the same thing again for the video thing. And again, that is your, those industries are, you know, Brother Johnson, I guess with the actual playwright, that's a little bit more difficult. But again, entertainment and video and communications, that's really, you know, where those are the, you know, growth areas. So I would encourage that. Plus, then, like I said, like, again, I go back to the our congressional candidate. I'm going to just call him the congresswoman. But, you know, it's your path. As God is telling you, that's your path. He's placed you upon this path. You know, that is your path. You know, go for it. You can have it.
Your gift will make a way for you.
There you go.
Yep. And anybody else before we close? And when I say attorney, friend, you trying to say something?
Yeah, I want to piggyback just a little bit on what Mr. Sweeting said. We have to adjust and adapt. You know, 2020, it didn't teach us anything else. It taught us that we cannot stand still. Everything is fluid. You've got to adjust. You've got to adapt. And the lesson that I learned, I started out in my business as a sole proprietorship because it was just me. I was writing books and I was running my mouth and I was collecting a check and there was really no liability. You know, people could take my advice or not or whatever, but it wasn't like it was going to create a big liability for me, unless I said some stuff that was not true and, you know, defamed some people, which I'm just not into that anyway. But what I also learned is that I had to expand what I was doing in order to keep up with some other things, you know, the other opportunities, like the technology was moving on and I wasn't moving with it. And I had to adjust and adapt to include some of that. Well, that took me to a place where I began to work with another team of people to create a product. And now I have a product that is in the throes of being created and I'm seeking funding. Well, that takes me out of the realm of a sole proprietorship. Now I need to become an LLC because as a sole proprietor, I'm not protected into the arena that I'm trying to go. And so you got to look at where you start and then where you are and where you're going. And if your structure that you have that you use to get started does not accommodate the growth that you're moving into, you got to change your business structure too. So you just got to keep adjusting and adapting and growing. Adjust, adapt, and grow. Because nobody wants to just stay the same. None of us get into this business thing just to stay the same. So whatever you start with, make sure that as you grow, your structure changes to accommodate your growth so you provide yourself the greatest level of protection as you move forward because you're getting ready to buy a house. They can't have my house. I got to protect myself. They can't have my house. I can't have my car. I love my car. That's Francis. I love my car. I'm getting a new house. I love my house. I can't have those things. But you know what? If I keep this sole proprietorship, and I don't move into an LLC, if something happens, they're coming to get my house and my car, and there's nothing I can do to stop that. So take the action before you need to take the action. so that you'll be protected. It's really important because all of us are moving from where we are to a whole different level. We're all leveling up. We are all leveling up. This is 2021 is your season. This is your time. This is your moment. This is it. Seize it. And then turn it into what you want it to be. Don't let it beat you down. You got to grab it and tell it, no, I'm in charge, and I'm going to do this thing, and you're going to go my way because God said so, and he's the big guy, and you're going to do what he says. You just have to own that. But you, as you go, you got to protect yourself as you make those moves. Vernon, you know, you're moving into some really amazing space, so protect yourself. And you too, Mr. Johnson, you're about to have a, you know, you're moving into a media piece, man. You're going to have people all over the world looking at your stuff. You don't want to give them an opportunity to snatch it before you can protect it. You know? Do that. Just do that for you. And believe me, if somebody else could get a hold of it before you get done with it, they're coming.
Okay. Well, in closing, thank you again, Attorney James Sweeting III, because, you know, I appreciate you very much. And you know, you're a good guy too. You know, not only you sharp, but you're a good guy. You know, he's active, and all of y'all who's on, Happy New Year to you. And as the pastor was saying earlier, you know, she's, how they say in church, she stepped on my toes quite a bit when she was speaking. You know, because, you know, like most of us, we've been through a lot last year. And we're going to go through life. If you live long enough, you already know there's always going to be obstacles present, always. And so by now, we should learn how to at least move around them, or been there and done that kind of attitude, you know, and but keep it moving. And so, you know, take this year seriously, because tomorrow is not promised to none of us, you know, and so do what we can. But I do know one thing, as the pastor did say, you know, God didn't put us on this earth just to leave it empty. You know, we all got something to leave or something to give, if it's not to someone or some legacy that you can leave behind, like a lot of you authors on here. So you got a legacy. Those who you are involved with the National Black Unity News, whether you know it or not, my article, I want you to read my article, this upcoming issue, because it's talking about you pretty much. And in this article, I tell you, some of y'all don't even realize the impact that you're making. You don't know, even some of you don't even know that your words actually saved people's lives or put their lives in a different direction. You never know who picks up and reads this publication and reads your words. Like you, attorney, you never know how many times people have read your articles. They may never call you and saying thank you or say anything else to you. But I do know one thing about words. They don't come back void. And this paper has traveled all around the world. And so, you know, like I said, you never know. But my friend was asking about leaving something behind. And you never know how many young people or younger people who's picking up this publication, who's going through. I mean, older people now, because a lot of people have to change course now. They don't know. And they get the publication now. We got information in there good for yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But at the same time, a lot of you, when you write your article, like I say, it seems like off all, but everybody seems to flow together for some reason when we write these articles. And they're very inspiring. You know, I can tell you how I know, because they inspire me. But at the same time, I can't imagine, because I'm the one who gets the calls. I'm the one who gets the text messages from those who have read the publication, sending thanks. And like I said, I've been publishing over 40 years, and this is the first time in my life when people come in. I used to get a lot of criticism back in the day. You know, a lot of, well, what you do, but they know I was trying. But this time around, and I'm not just saying this to tickle nobody's ears, but it's the truth. It's everybody. I love this publication. I love it. And so now we paid our dues, those of you who are involved with this publication. But like Fran said, this is a new day. We need it more than ever now. And the publication is going to grow. It's growing. But it's going, like I said, we planted some serious seeds over the last couple of years, 2 or 3 years we've been around. Now it's harvest time. We're going to get paid. And I'm going to make sure you get paid. Because, like I say, I figured out a way, because I've been bogged down trying to do this and try to do that. Now I'm more focused than ever now. more focused, and I know where I need to be. I'm an ambassador. At Fran T, I tell her, I'm a network of networks, so I need to go out there and network. That's all. That's just up to me, you know, and that's what I do best. I know where they are. I know how to get them. And if I win, you win. And every time I move, all I do is open up new territories so that expand your territories and create more audience. And that's what I need to focus on. The stuff that I do now, you know, like I said, I'm going to get some young folks. They're going to be doing that, putting papers together, spending time doing it. I'm moving forward. And I suggest you prepare yourselves. And I know some of you are already ready. But sometimes when change comes, it comes kind of, you know, it's not an easy feeling sometimes when you have to change course and change directions, you know, not knowing. But I'm going to tell you one thing. When I say I got confirmation, I just listen to that pastor. You know, when God tells you to move, you move. And like I said, I know each one of you on here kind of personally, except for Mr. Corey Johnson, but I know him more than he think I do. I know his whole, I know all his family. And Mr. Murphy, I know you're on it, Dempsey Murphy. I just want to give this brother a shout out in closing. This brother is Corey Johnson. He's an author. And his family grew up in Emerson Village. And I know a lot of his cousins and stuff. But he had a brother. And that's who he wrote his book about, his play about. And Mr. Murphy, I'm going to tell you, listening to his story sounded exactly like J.C. Because both of them brothers knew each other, and they went the same path. They know the same people, but, you know, they did some of the crazy things anyway. And they were notorious for the way they did it. But in any case, you know.
David, real briefly. Real briefly, they call it a partisan crime. That's it. Yeah. They were called partisan crime. Keep it moving.
Yeah, but at the same time, it was like sitting in the NA program. When he was telling his story about his brother, it sounded like me talking about mine. You know, I mean, all the exact same words I could have used. But in any case, but my steps are ordered, and so are y'all. So in closing, I want to wish you all a great new year, because we made it through this one. And we don't, tomorrow's not promised you, but today is. We got this moment. Just make the most of it. Keep doing what you're doing, because you are making an impact in your own way. And don't give up. Don't give in. You know, it's get rough sometimes, but, you know, just keep it moving. And besides, one thing about the National Black Unity News, you see, sometimes you can just pick up the phone. We got a great group of people on here, and man, they're hustling to reflect. And if you share, because I share a lot, and when you give, it comes back to you. So when I share, I get feedback, and that feedback what keeps me going. Matter of fact, I believe it saves my life on many occasions, because it gets rough sometimes. And like I said, when you're trying to carry it by yourself, it gets heavy. But when you got a group of people that not only pray for you, give you suggestions, and give you some of their wisdom, it's powerful. Don't be no island. Share, get out there. You know, network. As I say, network of networks. And so in that saying, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bid you good night. And again, Attorney James Sweden, I appreciate you, sir, for taking your time out. And I'll send you the check in the morning.
Thank you for the inspiration, brother. All right.
Don't forget about the networking call tomorrow night, 7:30, everybody. First call of the year for our networking group. So tune in.
Yeah, please do, because a lot of new stuff will be coming up. And Attorney James, I suggest you. I know you're extremely busy. But I think you might need to start getting on some of those Tuesday night calls. That's when you get to meet the other people in the National Black Unity News. And they're all over the country, but I'm quite sure, because like you say, technology, you can serve, you know, I don't know how you do that, but you know, but some things you can do. And I do know, based on my conversations with people, they need to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate the encouragement. And I will endeavor to be there tomorrow.
Okay. Tuesday. All right, 7:30, but it goes, I'll send up everybody text me. How you doing, Brother Cliff? All right, Bern. All right, I'm going to say good night to everybody. Kathleen, Happy New Year. Dempsey, everybody, y'all take care.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everyone. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Brother Leroy, and who else we got on here? Brother Haki.
Dr.
Watie. Of course, Dr. Watie was the first one. She beat everybody this time.
Yeah, good evening. Good evening, everybody. Thank you, Brother Dave.
Bye-bye.
everybody.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, so your article, like I said, expect the paper next week. Expect the paper next week. I'm still working on a little detail, but, you know, at the beginning of the year, you know, be a little late because the printer is behind schedule.
Right.
You know, and they do daily paper, so, you know, they put us on the back, you know, on the back burner. So, but in any case, we are regular now, and so they do treat us with a lot of respect. So,
All right.
Y'all take care now.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.